Did you know that 33% of Americans leave their appointment not knowing what the doctor mentioned or discussed or understand what's going on? How are you handling that in your office? What kind of conversation are you having with your team members? On today's podcast, we're going to talk about how you can choose your words wisely, how you can make sure that you're having the right conversation, how you can make it more personable, but most importantly, how you can connect. On today's podcast, we have the one and only Dr. Caitlin Righetti. Let's go.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Super excited today because we're having a conversation about something that's really near and dear to my heart. I love doctor-patient communication, doctor-patient interaction. And most importantly, I love to help patients live their best lives. And friends and family, I have someone that's an expert that really is passionate about this same conversation. So excuse us as we geek out tonight, but friends and family, I'd like to welcome my colleague, Dr. Caitlin Righetti. How you doing today, Caitlin?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking, and super excited about the show today, simply because you and I have that same common mindset where we want to make sure that our patients have all the right tools and resources to be successful. And I know this evening we're really going to dive deep into that. But before we get too far along, I always like to learn a little bit more about who I'm having this conversation with. So if you don't mind, maybe just starting off about, you know, where you're from, maybe a fun fact, and then we'll jump into your journey a little bit, if you don't mind, my friend.
Sure. Sounds good. So I am from Northeast Ohio. Fun fact about myself, we'll probably get into this a little bit later too, but I am actually a food blogger as well. So in 2016, I started a food blog, just kind of as a creative outlet for myself, so that I could start learning more. I love to learn. And so I was looking for something as a new outlet for me. And so food blogging was really taught me a lot about digital marketing, digital design, SEO, and of course, cooking is always fun. So
I prefer just to eat, none of the cooking, eat all the food. Awesome. So let's talk about, you know, eye care. You know, like, how did you even jump into this profession? Let's talk a little bit about school life. Let's talk about practice life. And then let's jump into the mix of the heart of the conversation. But let's just kind of, you know, take it a little back further, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. So I did my undergrad at Bowling Green, and then I went to Ohio State for optometry school, graduated in 2013. So my journey into eye care is kind of that classic tale of girl needs glasses, girl meets optometrist, girl gets glasses and contacts. I was just amazed by the whole process and I loved it. So going into college my freshman year, I knew that I wanted to go into optometry. I was very laser focused on it. Really kind of scared the crap out of my parents because here I am just saying I'm going to be, you know, basically the first person in our family to go to college. I'm going to be a doctor and I have no plan B. Because I knew that if I had a plan B, that anytime things got tough, it would give me kind of an out for me to chicken out. So I was like, there's just no plan B. It's just what's going to happen. And so everything went well. I graduated with honors. I went to optometry school, graduated, passed boards. I kind of landed the perfect job. After school, full-time job, great benefits, close to home. So I kind of made it to the proverbial top of the mountain and I stood back and I was kind of like, this sucks. Like I was not happy with where I was at. So I started to kind of refocus because I just realized like, I'm just not happy with where this has led me. So I started working in different practices. I worked in multiple corporate locations. I worked in multiple private practice locations. I worked in ophthalmology offices. So, I mean, I worked anywhere from malls, grocery stores, hospitals, anywhere I could find, just to try and find the setting for me. I just thought maybe if I find the right place or the right people, I'll find myself happier. The place that I kind of settled into, my home base, I've been there a couple years now. It's a private practice. It's amazing. My boss is amazing. We've got three locations. My boss is very supportive. He's very family oriented. The staff is great. The patients, for the most part, are kind and understanding. We have a lot of autonomy as doctors there. So it's really a great setting for me. But I did find that even at that, in my perfect location, I was still not totally happy in clinical care 5 days a week. And so that for me was kind of a bottom point, because that's when I started to realize, all right, this is not like just a location issue. This is now a me issue. I'm just not totally happy in the career, and I need to find something that's going to work a bit better for me. So that's what kind of led into food blogging. I was looking for just a more creative outlet, a better work-life balance. I was able to monetize my food blog and kind of cut back hours at work a bit to start balancing my life a little bit better for me. So that was great. Fast forward a couple years, November of 2020, one of my friends tragically died. And then 2 months after that, I gave birth to my daughter. And so the combination of those two events, I think, really kind of shook me. And it really kind of made me sit down and evaluate my life and where I wanted to go with it. Pardon my French. Sorry, Mom, because I know you're watching, but it just made me like want to cut the bullshit, you know, like I just want to figure out what it is I want to do, what's going to make me happy. And I'm going to do it again, laser focused on it, figure out what it is that I want to do. So during my maternity leave, my current boss, he reached out to me and he said, hey, would you be open to the idea of maybe doing a day at home and revamping our website, rewriting all of our website content for us, because he knows that I love writing. So that was a great fit. And that really opened a lot of doors for me, where I just started realizing, wow, like this is something that I could do with my knowledge and my experience in optometry, but also with my creative side and my desire to have more freedom and be able to be present for my family and travel and do all the things that I want to do in my life. So with that kind of started me thinking, hey, I can start doing this for other optometrists. I could start working from home and being able to offer this. So I reached out to a couple OD Facebook groups.
Okay.
And I got in contact with Eric Matei at Acrinos.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been amazing. I mean, he's been just like the best mentor for me. He's so authentic. He's so passionate about optometry. He's really introduced me to so many people in the industry that have a similar viewpoint of just coming from a more authentic standpoint and just trying to follow their passions in a way that benefits people. So I also now work as clinical liaison for Acrinos. So within that role, a lot of times I support the doctors, especially the associate doctors, new doctors that are kind of coming in and also finding themselves on the top of the mountain and not sure what they want to do, and kind of helping them find a happier existence within optometry. So all of that led to the development of Dr. Rigetti Designs. Started out as kind of a freelance job where I was just open to doing anything. I was writing website content. I was doing social media designs, really anything that anybody could want for their practice, I was willing to help out with. From some recommendations from some of my clients and some of my mentors, I decided to start designing templates of repeat things, you know, dry eye brochures, diabetic retinopathy brochures, basically anything that an office could use to help educate their patients, different office forms like patient intake forms, something that's a little bit more interesting than just the standard black and white forms that we all give out.
Love it.
So now that's mostly what I do, is the template design and custom designs as well, for if there's anything that any doctor can come up, I like to come up with it.
Well, look, there's so much to unpack with this. And before we jump too much into it, I want to give a shout out to Eric. We did an amazing podcast last year, and it was just great content. Got a lot of great feedback. He's full of great energy. And for those that are listening, make sure you go check out that previous podcast because it will help you figure out your purpose in life and where you want to go as well. But Caitlin, let's unpack this. Number one, I love that you really stress the power of the pivot, right? You were unhappy and you had to figure out something else. So you didn't just stay somewhere and be miserable. You made that change. You made that shift. You made that pivot, which gave you that freedom that you were looking for. All my students out there, all my new graduates out there, all my seasoned ODs, you don't have to keep doing the same thing. Jump. Make that jump. Pivot. Do something else. This is a prime example of how you can get to where you want in life, right? That way you can continue to add value to this eye care industry. The other thing that I love is that you really touched on culture, right? Culture is everything. If you don't have the right culture, how can you go to work every day, right? It's going to be miserable. So right. You got to make sure you have a culture that aligns with your personal culture. And I think that really revolves around understanding your values, your purpose, and things of that nature. And, be a little easier to align with someone that has a similar culture. But the thing that I really love that you touched on, really, which is a combination of the two things I just mentioned, is just that work-life balance. You know, to be able to hang out with your friends, your family, your friends, and travel and work the days you want, but also do what you love, right? This is what optometry is all about. It provides work-life balance for anyone out there. You just have to make that step and figure out what you want. Now, I want to get into the heart. I want to get into the guts. I want to get into the conversation that everyone's here and super excited to have. And I had the opportunity not too long ago, a couple weeks back, reading an article that you wrote. It was called "The Crucial Role of Health Literacy in Optometric Practice Success." And it was in Independent Strong, right? And I was just blown away by some of the stats that you mentioned in that article. And I was blown away by the amazing advice that you gave, because although it was simple, it's stuff that people still don't do.
Right.
And I don't understand why. So today I'd really love to, just touch on, how being an advocate for health literacy can really change someone's practice. And I would really love just to touch on what made you truly passionate about this before we get too far in it, because I always like to know the why.
Yeah. I think that the constant of, regardless of what practice I worked in or what I was doing, the one thing that I consistently loved was educating the patients, seeing where their brain would just kind of click, where they got it. Or them saying, oh my gosh, nobody's ever explained that to me before. I've had this my whole life and no one has taught me that. Those types of things were really the main positive thing about optometry that I loved. And I think that in optometry school, there's not a lot of education on patient education. You know, we're taught how to talk to them in the chair. We're taught how to, simplify medical jargon and do teach back and things like that. But there's nothing beyond the chair. You know, they don't teach us about how to connect with our patients and communicate with them once they leave our chair. So for me, that was just a huge thing. Cause like you said, I feel like it's something that's not overlooked, but maybe not prioritized in the way that it needs to be.
And that's the key. I mean, at the end of the day, communication is king. And with that being said, you mentioned the chair, right? The exam lane, that time we spend with that patient while they're sitting in front of us. In this article, you really touched on choosing your words wisely. I'd love for you to kind of expand on that, because I find that in order to really connect with patients, you got to understand that person that's sitting in front of you and speak the same language that they speak. So if you don't mind instructing that a little bit more and giving some tips to the folks out there that are listening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of doctors understand that we need to simplify terms as much as possible. But I think that sometimes we need a reminder that simple terms to us is still not a simple term to the general public. Mm. You know, in my clinic, we do a lot of myopia management. And so we can talk to patients about myopia, myopia control. But sometimes you got to realize that they don't know what myopia means. And so a lot of times we break it down to say nearsighted.
Right.
And maybe we need to realize that people still don't know what nearsighted means. So a lot of times I try and take things all the way down to the foundation and work our way up. I've definitely learned through practice that you can't take patients' nods of understanding and, to mean that they're getting it. So I really like to start at a base and start with, you know, here's what nearsighted is, here's what it means, here's why we want to control it. And the bigger thing for me too is also making sure that we educate patients about what's normal. I have a lot of patients where okay. before I've shown them OptiMap images and they've never seen them before, even though they've had them taken. So I think that it's important to educate patients about normal things, show them their normal OptiMap findings so that down the road, if they have something abnormal that pops up, you're not having to start the conversation from the baseline of saying, here's a retina, here's a picture of it. You know, they've already seen that year after year. They know what normal is. They know what we're looking for. And now it's easier to have that conversation about something that's abnormal because we've taken the time to educate them about what is standard.
And, you know, when we look at this concept, I think we can look at it in a multi-layered approach, right? I mean, it's one thing to have that conversation with our patients, but I think also we have to have that same conversation with our team members, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like we all should be on the same page when we're communicating in that office. What you say, your team members in the office should be aligned and be saying the same exact thing and understand it. And in order to make that happen, you have to choose your words wisely when you're having that conversation with your team members as well, because they're a reflection of you. They're an extension of you. And you're not always going to be there to answer a question.
Well, a lot of times the team members too will be the people that kind of make me realize when I need to break things down a little bit more. So to have team members that feel comfortable enough with you to say, hey, what is this test? Why are we doing it? What does it mean? What are we looking for? And then if I explain it to them and they're like, okay, what does that mean? You know, those types of conversations just really help you understand, okay, this is someone who works in the optometry field. They're here every day and they still may not know what this term means. So I really need to take a step back in how I explain it to patients.
That's huge, Caitlin, because it's that bi-directional approach, right? As doctors, we always think we have all the answers. And sometimes we don't even have the answers, right? But you know, if you have a team member that's coming in and they're telling you to say something in a different way or asking you how to explain something, it's up to us to figure it out to make sure they understand and, again, that the patient understands. So it's bi-directional. We teach our team members, but they also teach us things. And at the end of the day, it's going to make it so that the entire office is performing at a high level.
Absolutely. Now,
in this article, you also broke down that we should use our time wisely, right? Although we probably do spend more chair time than any other healthcare disciplinary out there, I would love for you to kind of touch on that a little bit more. How can we use our time wisely?
Yeah, I mean, I think in optometry or really any medical practice, there's so much focus on our time constraints, schedule constraints, and chair time of how we're able to how much time we're able to communicate with that patient while they're there. So for me, yes, talking to them is important, of course, but only 30% of people are auditory learners. So to understand that the majority of our patients, you can sit there and talk to them all day with as much time as you have, but they still may not get it. And that really hits home with me because I am not an auditory learner at all. You can ask anyone I went to optometry school with. I type like 160 words per minute because I have to. Because I have to get down. Like yes,
I have smoking to get over down there.
Every word.
Hey, you
I will
know
just
what?
Type a lecture out word for word.
We would have been best friends at optometry school because I would have been like, she got all the notes. I'm hanging out with her.
Probably haven't made a lot of my friends. But yeah, I need that. Like I need to be able to write it, read it, process it in my own time. So I think that there's just not a lot of emphasis put on the fact that a lot of us are visual learners. We want to read, we want to see videos, we want to see visuals. So you can talk to me in a chair all day long, but I'm still going to leave and go, wait, what did he say? What was I? Right. And if I'm doing that as a doctor, I know that regular population is going to be doing that as well.
100%. I love that. I love that approach. And that kind of goes into this next point of making it personal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're having this patient in that exam lane or in your chair, what are some tips to truly make it more personable, to make that connection more intimate, to really make sure that your point gets across to that patient?
For me, I'd say that my biggest pet peeve when it comes to optometry patient education is that we rely a lot on mass produced content. I can sit in an exam chair in most offices and see like anywhere from 5 to 20 different logos, and none of them may be the actual practice that I'm sitting in. So a lot of times, because it's provided to us for free, we just throw it in the exam room. You know, we hand that to the patient thinking, okay, I've done my due diligence here. I've given them the literature. But to me, I think that that just really gears patients away from us as being their source of information. You know, if I'm in a doctor's office and you hand me a brochure about dry eye, but it's from X pharmaceutical company, that tells me, okay, this company has all the information I need. I don't need to learn anything from you anymore because now you've referred me to them. So now I'm going to go to their website. I'm going to start searching Google. I'm going to start finding things outside of my eye care provider when really it could all be provided from the doctor. So for me, I just think that the more that we can personalize it as far as branding for our office, putting our doctor's names on it, having our information, a QR code that goes to our website, and even a treatment regimen that's designed by the doctor so that it follows suit with what they're saying in the chair, I think that's huge to creating that patient relationship.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I was just here and taking notes, and, you know, the one thing that I never even thought about is, you know, there are always these companies, third parties coming in that want us to leverage their services, and they give us this free literature, these pamphlets and things like that. And when you give patients this stuff, it can lead them to be confused or maybe even lead to thinking that you don't care, right? Mm-hmm. Simply because it's kind of like, here, take this and run, even though you might have communicated that plan. But when I'm sitting here thinking, like, what if we did exactly what you said, right? Where we communicate effectively in that exam lane, and then we reinforce it with something physical, especially if they're a visual learner, and we have our personal brand, our personal name, our personal doctors. It just connects better, it hits better, and it creates truly that intimate relationship that we seek as healthcare professionals and eye care professionals as well. So I think you really hit the nail on the head in regards to, you know, how can we really help out with health literacy, right? We got to make that connection, and you got all the right tools and resources to make that happen.
Yeah. And I think even beyond that too, having that QR code too, you know, now they've got the physical, now they've got the QR code, it links them back to your website. Now they can follow you on social media. They can sign up for your newsletter. So it just creates this feedback loop of all the information they need is coming from you.
I love it. I love it. And you know, that's a good segue into the importance of SEO, right? You know, you're talking my language, right? I understand this, right? You know, to be able to have these keywords, these keyword phrases, you know, link back on page SEO, off page SEO, all this stuff is going to help patients get back to your practice and help you rank higher. And it's something that needs to be done. If you don't have a website, if you're not marketing, if you're not on Instagram, if you're not on YouTube, you're going to be lost in the sauce, my friend, and be extinct sooner than later. I mean, am I lying or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, you got to make sure you're stepping your game up. So
with quality content too.
And I want to touch on quality content that you provide. You alluded to it earlier that you have your own organization, right? I'd love for you to share a little bit more information about that. I know earlier you told me that you have some templates and things like that, but kind of walk me through, you know, high level, what all services you provide, and then also where can someone find you if they want to partner with you as well?
Yeah, so I can be found, my website is drrigettidesigns.com. So Rigetti is just like spaghetti, but with an R-E. so you can search me there. That has my whole site, that has my shop. It's got links to different custom designs that I've done. You can hire me for custom work. Custom jobs typically take anywhere from like 1 to 8 hours, depending on what it is that you're looking to have done. But the biggest thing you're going to see on there is a lot of my templates. So I've got templates on there for dry eye, diabetic retinopathy, myopia management. I've got patient intake forms. I've got fillable PDF intake forms, because I think that's huge too, to be able to link that to your website. So really the templates, when you go there, you upload your logo, you upload all of your offers information. I input that all into the template and I brand it for you. I have the colors that match your logo, and then I send you a copy of it Yes, I send you a copy. Make sure that you approve of it and that you're happy with how it looks. Sometimes we may make some edits. I have people that, you know, I don't use this treatment. Can you change it to this? I'm like, absolutely. That's what I'm here for. That's what I want to do. The templates are really just a recommendation, but I want it to be kind of totally geared for you and your doctors and what you need. So all those little edits are all included. Anything beyond simple edits, we can always work on custom jobs. But the nice thing is that you send it within a couple days. Here it is, and then I can just ship it to you, and it's professionally printed and sent right to your office or your home.
I love it. I love it. You know, what's next? I mean, you've had a hell of a career. You're still very young in your career. So what's next? What's in the future? What's in the pipeline? Because you got a lot of amazing things cooking up that's going to help to change the way that we practice day in and day out.
Yeah, I mean, for me right now, I practice one day a week, and that's a really good balance for me. I'm really happy with that. I love doing my design work the other days and working with Acrinos as well. So for me, with my one day, I'm focusing a lot more on just becoming a dry eye specialist. I want to focus just on one particular topic and become very good at it. So I'm working within my practice just to become the dry eye specialist that we have there. Beyond that, I mean, I want to keep building my business. I'm always open to any type of suggestions for what doctors can use. So I love when people send me feedback of things that they could use. I'm starting to work and group with different companies to include those templates into certain like consultation packages, things like that. So I really don't know what's next. I'm a queen of metamorphosis. Whatever the world wants to throw me that makes me happy, I will embrace it. And
I love it. I love it. Well, I like to ask all my colleagues this question. You know, when it's your time to retire that phoropter, when it's your time to retire and just hang it up and be done, what do you want to be known for, Dr. Righetti?
Well, I'd say I'm already in the process of semi-retiring the phoropter. But I think that overall, I just want to be known as kind of an authentic presence, somebody who inspires people to just, you know, follow their dreams, their passions, their goals, whether professionally, personally, whatever the case may be. I just want to be someone who kind of makes the field and life in general, just a better place, just a more beautiful, more cohesive, kind place.
I love it. And you're already doing
lofty goals.
You're doing it already. And I just want to thank you on behalf of iCare for just all the amazing work that you have done and just continue doing the great work. On today's show, you really highlighted that, you know, don't feel like you have to be stuck in one place, right? You highlighted that there is the power of the pivot, right? You highlighted the importance of work-life balance. You highlighted the importance of finding the right culture. You highlighted finding what is right for you when it comes to your career. And I just want to say thank you. And for all those that are out there that are listening, please make sure you tap in. Visit her website. Make sure you partner with Dr. Righetti. That way you can have the best communication when it comes to patients. And remember, 33%, they don't even remember what you guys talked about when they left the practice or the office. They don't even know what to do next. So it's key to make sure that you make it personal. It's key to make sure that you choose that use that time wisely. And it's key just to make sure that you actually care, right? Friends and family, thank you so much for tuning in on today's podcast. If you haven't subscribed to Defocus Media, please make sure you do it. We're on all platforms. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn. Defocus Media is the name. So tap in and follow us. Thanks again so much for being on the show. This has been fantastic. You're getting a lot of love out here. Loving this conversation. Amazing podcast. Wonderful presentation, my friend. You are inspiring, Dr. Righetti. Effective communication impacts patients' outcomes and business growth. Clearly, you're doing a damn thing. Smiley face. Oh, my gosh. We can keep going on and on. You are loved out here. So again, thank you so much. Thanks to everyone tuning in. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Stay healthy, stay positive, and stay blessed. And until next time, peace.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap.
Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.